Let's Garage.
Hello, everyone. This is the co-host emeritus, the Laughing Buddha, welcoming all those pinkies out there in Pinky Land to a live production of the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. And our chief mechanic is just back from his latest errand from Weddings Are Us. And Faye, welcome.
Why, thank you. You should see the veil I got. It's absolutely beautiful.
You know, inquiring minds want to know, have you decided on the 12 or 15 quart punch bowl? And what color will the doves be when they're released at the end of the ceremony as Whitney Houston sings, "I Will Always Love You"?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. Of course, the doves will be pink. And we're not having a 15-quart punch bowl. It's going to be a 45-gallon barrel of aged oaked moonshine.
Oh, my goodness. You're pulling out all the stops.
This is a shotgun wedding. You may not realize this, but Mother Anderson is going to be up there with a shotgun. So that's...
Well, I'm really happy that she's making you an honest man, finally, after 15 years.
Right. That's right. Well, hello, Laughing Buddha, and yes, everybody, welcome to the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. Thank you for joining us here. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing awesome. It's the end of the work week, and it's wonderful to be here doing a little show with you and our guests tonight, so I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Now we're gonna get through these introductions. We got a lot to talk about. We have some very special guests who have some really interesting things. Let me introduce to everybody one of the other staples of the Pink Wheelnuts Garage, and that is Eric Boo from Hello Again, It's Brenda Boo. Hi, Eric.
Hello, and yes, the associate producer is standing by in case of any technical difficulties, so she's just right over here. But hey, by the way, I'll say it publicly, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, you just tell that associate producer now that this is the boys' hour now, and now the boys are out to play.
Oh, she's going to love to hear that.
Oh, shut yeah.
I cannot control the beast. No, just...
Can she hear me right now?
Yes, she can.
Oh, no, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Oh,
yeah, she's already cursing you out in the chat room.
Oh, dear.
Love her dearly. And yes, so... But, yeah, I told her.
So. Well, let's say hello to Toppy Smelly. Hi, Toppy.
Hi, Faye. Hi, everybody. And my congratulations, too, on the pending nuptials.
Thank you very much. I just had a little conversation today with one of my rental contractors for... What are we renting from that chick? I can't remember. I don't know. You know this wedding thing, guys. Just, you know, there's one really good thing about being gay. At least I thought there was. You know, back in 1985, the whole idea, I thought, oh, this is great. I'll never have to get married. And then we go ahead and legalize gay marriage here in Canada. Gah! Now I'm signing rental contracts for wine glasses. Anyway.
And barrels.
And barrel, yeah. 45 barrel drums. How are you doing, Toppy?
I'm good, thanks.
That's good. You know, I was... you drive a car, Toppy Smelly.
I do.
And I was listening to your shows from quite some time ago now, and I have to say, I think you're a good driver. You know that?
Oh, well, thank you.
I listen to you drive, and I'm impressed with your skill.
Well.
Just wanted you to know that.
Thank you. I've got one story for today. It's very brief. And I'll just say it now because it's so brief. All you guys have a oil sixth sense. I do, I've found out, because my car doesn't have an indicator for oil. And I just start getting a feeling in the back of my head that I really, really should look at the oil. And I did that a couple of days ago, and it was super, 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 super low, like dangerously low. And I caught it probably in the nick of time.
Wow, good for you.
So, yeah.
How much did you have to put in?
Like a lot. There was barely a speck on the dipstick.
Oh, dear.
That's how bad it was? Jesus.
Like 2 quarts worth or more?
Yeah, I put in a lot, and I had a big thing of oil.
You should check it every time you put gas in your car, just in case.
You're absolutely right, Eric. You're absolutely right.
Come on now, that's a bit much. Every time, every second or third time.
Oh, if he's that low, you got to find out how fast it's draining.
Well, sure, now. True. Now that he knows he was low, maybe every time, but not.
The truth is, I haven't checked it since I got the car from the little lady, and I knew that just before she had sold it to me, it had gotten an oil change, and I just sort of went comfortably along based on that, and then like that sixth sense came in, and I said, Gino, I really should check my oil, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear the sound, Toppy, of Faye choking?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
That's not a good thing.
Okay, well, let's move on, and let's introduce our two guests of honor tonight. The first one, this is a bit of a coup for me. I've been wanting to get this fellow on the show for a long time. Here's another self-titled driver extraordinaire, and that is Trucker Alex. Hello, Trucker Alex.
Well, hello. I was just now, politely waiting for my turn to say congratulations also.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, Alex, you've been in a relationship for a long time too, haven't you? How long have you and your partner been together?
Oh, dear God. Since 91, about 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. Good for you. And you guys, do you have impending legal marriage coming? Did I see you talking about that?
That's my mind. We kind of go back and forth between Columbia, South Carolina, and Rockford, Illinois, is where he's from, and I used to live there. And I guess they just okayed it a couple weeks ago, so we may, when we go back up in May, we may try something. I don't want to say.
Well, good. Now, for people who don't know, Trucker Alex is a, are you a long-haul trucker, Alex?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And where are you tonight, this very instant?
Right now I'm in Jackson, Mississippi, headed to Wichita, Kansas.
And when do you expect to be home into the arms of your loved one?
Not till next week. Maybe Tuesday or Wednesday of next week.
You know, we've been very honored to welcome Trucker Alex to Cedar Rapids a couple times and take him out to dinner and we're hoping that he comes back soon because we enjoy chatting with him, and he's certainly welcome.
I enjoyed being there, if it's snowing.
You broke up a bit there, Alex. Say it again.
No, I try to stay out of the Midwest when it's snowing.
Oh, right. Like right now. Well, instead of talking about snow, let's talk about what's going on in Australia, because we do have with us tonight RT Cruiser on the line. Hello, RT.
Good morning, all.
Oh, good morning, of course. Yes. You're just waking up.
Yes. Well,
did you even go to sleep?
I did. I didn't sleep very well. It's middle of Mardi Gras season, and I've been burning the candle at both ends a bit.
Right. And can you just explain what your Mardi Gras entails for those of us off-continent?
It's just the big, it's like Pride. It's our Pride. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Sydney Harbour City Bears do a big festival that goes for a week and a half. So I've been doing pool parties and underwear parties and all sorts of things.
Wow, sounds like fun. Well, let's say hello to the people in the chat room, since we've got a few listeners in there from far and away. Laughing Buddha, do you want to go through the list and tell us who's there?
Sure. Joining us is the associate producer, Brenda Boo. We have Scotty, the little Aussie battler, who is joining us along with that Peter G and Veritable Virgo. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Yes, hello, and welcome to Pride 48 chat room and the Pink Wheelette's Garage. So we have quite a bit to get through here tonight. We want to talk to our special guests about a couple of things, and I want to go through a little bit from follow-up from a couple of shows ago. But before we do, Laughing Buddha, is there anything that you wanted to just bring up really quickly?
Why, yes, Faye, I do. That's right, Faye. I, this very day, have booked a flight to Vancouver, British Columbia, flying on Delta Airlines for April 24th through the 29th to come and say hello to you.
Is that right? Where are you staying?
Well, you know, I found this palatial mansion in British Columbia that has decided to take me in under the auspices of mercy and kindness, and that would be you.
Right, and we are very looking forward to having you here. So
I'm very, very excited myself.
That's great news. We have a whole week full of activities planned. So
this could be a lot of fun.
Now, for people who may not know, we should probably make it clear just exactly what's happening. Not only is the Laughing Buddha coming to Vancouver to stay here at at Shea Pink Wheelnuts, or in the Pink Wheelnuts garage, but also Eric and Brenda Boo are coming at the same time. So we're all going to have a big happy family together.
I hope you have plenty of room in your house.
Well, you know, you may not realize this right now, but we're going through a little bit of renovation at the time. So, like, right now. So, you know, hopefully everything's going to go smoothly and all the rooms will be restored to their pristine condition. But just let me tell you guys, you may be sleeping in a tent in the backyard.
Well, I know that the dog has a doghouse out there. And I thought, you know, if it's really kind of wet, and you force us to sleep in the elements, we can always be real nice with the dog and maybe share some of his room.
Sure. He's really he's generous. He will make room for you, no doubt about it. But I'm fairly confident that we won't need to go to that extent. But yeah, that's big news. We're all very excited about having everybody come here. So I think every one of us is looking forward to the visit.
Absolutely.
So great news, Laughing Buddha. Okay, now listen, let's get to the show here. We got to get through some stuff. So now, the first thing I want to talk about is way back when, in January of this year, we had Moose P on the show, and he was telling us about his Hyundai Veloster. And after he was on the show, we had a little follow-up from him, and I just wanted to share this kind of a nifty thing that he gets. With his car, he has a service called Blue Link, and what happens is his car or Hyundai America or some sort of widget gizmo in his car sends information via email to him on a monthly basis. So every month, he gets an email that indicates all of the status and functions of the car. Things like the status of the tire pressure sensors, how the oil is, things that indicate how well the engine is and all that kind of thing. Just a nice little email with some colorful icons in it that shows good, bad, or indifferent. So I thought that was quite impressive, this sort of electronic update directly from your car. Has anybody else experienced this kind of thing?
No. That'd be nice, though.
No, my car is from 2005. It's it doesn't even have a input for an MP3 player or anything like that. The fanciest thing I have is the ability to receive satellite radio.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Would the email to Toppy have been,
help!
Yeah. So anyway, that's just a little update from the Hyundai Veloster, or an update from our last show in January. That was episode number 21, titled New Car, New Year. So I wanted to share that with people. Now, Mark, the Laughing Buddha, do you want to talk about the... I know that Trucker Alex has some experience with this as well. I am a recent user of Apple's new podcasting app. Well, it's not that new. I guess it's 6 months old or so. And I think you have some experience with this. Do you want to talk about this at all?
Well, you know, I have the podcast app on my iPad, and there's really only a couple of podcasts that I have downloaded to that, but I find it really unwieldy to use. Those of us in the Pride 48 community listen to a lot of podcasts, and I don't really think that this application is meant for a real heavy user. It seems to be a lot of people are reporting glitches where podcasts are disappearing, or if they've marked them as played, they suddenly show up again in their queue. And I also found it very difficult. There was a website I was on for some podcast, and they had an iTunes subscription link, and it didn't work. It fed into the podcast app just fine, but then I got a message that said, this isn't a valid link. So I literally had to go on the website to find the correct RSS link and put that URL manually into the podcast app. And it's not really user-friendly for those podcasts that, you know, for example, my website, switching over to the new host, I am having a dickens of a time trying to figure out how to reconnect this feed, which is actually an old feed that I submitted to iTunes back in 2008. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to basically tell them to take down the old Audio Boo link and resubmit, because it's very unwieldy to try and get a podcast feed updated, or at least I feel like I'm a total idiot, and I consider myself pretty web savvy when it comes to finding audio files and that sort of thing. So I'm not real happy with it. It works fine for the few podcasts that I keep outside of my normal sort of podcasting feed that I keep on my Android phone. So that's been my experience anyway.
Okay, now Trucker Alex, you are an extremely mobile person. You're always driving around the country, and I know that you listen to several podcasts all the time. And now you have had some experience with this podcasting app, but what's your reaction to it?
If you mean several, I listen to 64 podcasts weekly. Ooh. And I think the podcast app from Apple would be good if you only listened to maybe four, because of the big graphics and it's trying to be pretty and all that. But for my use, plus I don't have time to pull up to a truck stop, connect to Wi-Fi, and try to use iTunes to connect, to download my podcast. So I use one that's called Downcast, and it just pulls in the podcast as I'm driving through certain cities that have LTE. You know, I can snatch down 20 podcasts in 3 minutes, and it works great. But, Downcast is the one I use.
So that's an app for your iOS device then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For iPhone or iPod?
I think it's a universal app that works on iPad and iPhone, but it's very good for finding. It's got a search engine built in to go out and find the podcast. You know, just put in Fade Driver or whatever, and it's just very easy.
So now, here's my experience with the iPod or the Apple's podcasting app. I think it works much better if you're able to connect to iTunes because it will, I shouldn't say much better, it works because it will put any podcast that I have downloaded into my iTunes onto the podcasting app on my iPad. But then after it's been spit into the iPad, into the podcasting app, you need to then subscribe to it. So I found that I just merely, I need to subscribe to anything that may not already be subscribed to on the podcasting app. But the frustrating thing for me is that it doesn't synchronize with iTunes. So even though I may have listened to a podcast on any place, if I delete it off my iTunes, it doesn't delete out of the podcasting app.
Oh.
Or I should say, it deletes the actual audio file out of podcasting app, but it leaves the empty reference there. So say you've listened to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage number 22, and you delete it, which I highly recommend. if I go to my podcasting app, the episode 22 will still be there, but the file won't be there. So then you have to delete the reference to the old episode. So that's kind of weird. I don't understand. It puts everything new into the podcasting app, but it doesn't delete old episodes after you've listened to them. So I get confused because then I go, well, just a minute now. Did I listen to this Game Night Guys episode or not? You know, it's a little frustrating that way. So I'm going to check into... Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I got rid of it off mine. It was useless. I have about 70 podcasts I listen to, and it just...
Well, I've heard if you delete the podcast app, doesn't it go ahead and throw your podcast back into your normal... How it used to be.
Yeah. Just puts it back into music.
But the thing about the podcast, what I like about the podcast app is that if you're out and about, say you go on a weekend trip to somewhere, and you know you don't have your iTunes, you can't sync all your episodes. If you have the podcast app, you're able to sync onto your mobile device very easily because it gets all the updates. When you can do a refresh, and it knows there's an episode that's new, and then you can manually download that episode. But the podcast, the music podcasting thing in iTunes, or the iTunes app, doesn't allow you to download any new episodes.
Have you checked all the preferences? Is there some kind of check mark you can check to make it manage the podcast?
No,
Yep.
It's Phase cumbersome. Right yeah. Sorry, go ahead, RT.
No, you're right on that. Once you're syncing it back through music, you can't download on the go.
Yeah.
That's the only problem. But I mean, I've got so many podcasts on my phone, it doesn't really matter.
True. So,
and anything over 50 megabytes, I can't download over 3G here anyway. So, yeah, and we don't have the Wi-Fi hotspots that you guys have over there. So, it's useless to me.
Right. Well, I continue to search for some kind of a good podcasting aggregator for the iPad. I'm going to check out this track. Downcast, you said, right?
Downcast. And I also download. Yeah, it doesn't have the 50 megabyte limit either because I download a bunch of video podcasts that are about 230 megabytes a piece.
Mm.
I had to switch to Sprint just for the unlimited data. I was AT&T. I was using too much.
Right.
I wonder also, does anybody use that Stitcher Smart Radio thing? I wonder if that would be good.
You know, I did use it on my iPod Touch for a while. Yeah. it's kind of annoying because they send out a lot of push notifications like breaking news and that sort of thing. And I just found it kind of annoying after a while, and I don't use it.
All right. Well, guys, let's go on to an extremely interesting topic to me, and we're going to focus on Trucker Alex here, because Trucker Alex, who's been looking for a car, a new car, for a long time, has gone ahead and purchased one of these new and amazing and interesting vehicles. So, Trucker Alex, do you want to tell us what kind of car did you just buy?
I bought a 2013 Chevy Volt. Electric car.
Right. So now there's, you know, this is the new Fandango fancy thing going on. It's not exactly a hybrid. Can you tell us how the drivetrain works on this car?
Okay. Yeah, as you said, it's not a hybrid. A hybrid just has electric motor attached to the back of the engine to help it along. This has no physical connection to the engine. It's just used as a generator. And so it's totally battery operated. You can go about 40 miles on the battery, and then the generator has to kick in. It provides power to the motor or to the batteries, but the motor is not attached to the drivetrain.
So it's a completely electrically powered drivetrain, and then the only reason the engine kicks in is when the battery gets low and the engine provides electricity directly to the electric drive motors.
Yep. Kind of like a diesel locomotive. You know, the engine and those aren't connected to the wheels either. It just makes electricity for the electric motors.
Right. So now, how long have you had the car then?
Okay, we just got it on the 9th of February, and since I'm only home mostly on the weekends, I've had 6 days to play with it. The first day I got it was a Saturday, and I spent all Saturday night reading the owner's manual, playing with every setting and every knob and every gadget. It's loaded with gadgets. It's unbelievable. It's like driving an iPad.
So now do you have some sort of interface to the car on your iPhone or your mobile phone?
Yes.
And
yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Okay. There are 3 different apps. Well, the standard OnStar that's used for all of the Chevys is on there. So it provides a way to look up maps or GPS information or places, and then you can tell it to send it directly to the in-dash navigation. So that's real convenient. I have an app that shows me when it's, how much this charge is in the battery, and then when it's finished charging, it sends me an email or a text message, either one, whatever you pick.
And then so now, you really haven't had much opportunity to drive the car then, really?
No. Nope.
Is there, from your experience, is there any indication of how much fuel you're using?
Yes, it's got a, how do I describe this? Well, it's got the normal trip odometer, the A and the B, and then it's got a lifetime one. It's going to keep track of your mileage, how many miles you burn on fuel and how many you burn on electricity, and for the lifetime of the vehicle. So right now it's showing some crazy number, like 212 miles per gallon.
Oh, really?
Something, because we've only used like 1.9 gallons. It's got a 9-gallon tank.
Oh,
and so cute.
That's pretty
most
tacky.
Of our traveling is right in town. It's maybe a mile to the Publix, 2 miles to the Target, and then 3 miles to the big shopping center. And IHOP and post office, things like that. You know, everything, we just stay on our side of town pretty much. my brother's family lives about a half a mile from us. And so we haul the two kids to school sometime or pick them up from their, you know, different whatever they're going to. And so, yeah, we really haven't had a need to use the gas except for one time last week. We went 54 miles over to my sister's for a family reunion.
So now, when the engine kicks in, is that something you can physically feel and sense? And do you sense it?
Absolutely do not sense it at all.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah. If you're on the interstate, it was imperceptible at all. It has a button. It has four modes: standard mode, or normal, sport, mountain, and hold. Where, like, if you normal is normal, sport makes it go faster. Are you familiar with? Have you been to Disney World and ridden on the Rock and Roller Coaster?
I prefer not to relate my experiences regarding Disney World.
Okay. Well,
maybe somebody else has been.
It feels like that when you're accelerating. It just goes and it keeps going and going, and there's no noise. So it feels, it throws your head back into the seat. It's like a 0-60 in 8.5 seconds or so on sport. It's not super fast like a Tesla, but it's good enough for around town.
Now, when the engine kicks on, you said that the engine does not directly connect to the drive shaft. Mm-hmm. It is for the generator only. So when the when the engine kicks on, is it at a constant RPM?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just more or less like a gas-powered portable generator.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. That's how I tried to describe it to one of the female truck drivers I drive with. Imagine a golf cart with a Honda generator strapped on the back. It would be about the same thing. Yep.
Okay, and that's why it's not a hybrid. Is that right? Mm-hmm. What you described? Okay.
It's an extended range electric vehicle. They call the engine, instead of an engine, they call it a range extender. What a joke. Mm. But, yeah.
I'm just curious, Alex, why did you choose that? Why were you interested? Why did you go this route?
Well, I started, we had an Audi A4. Nice car, very fun to drive, very sporty, very everything German. But I just turned 50 years old, and my other half is 10 years older, so he's 60. And we both, our knees are starting to give out, and shoulders and everything. And it actually hurt to get in and out. We have a one-car garage, and it's very tight to open the doors in there. And so initially, I was going to go and try to go to, like, the Mercedes GLK, a little SUV, or something a little higher off the ground. And then I started seeing the commercials for the Cadillac ATS, and that looked very interesting. But we drove it, and it was just like getting in and out of the Audi. It was way low to the ground. And I had no interest. I didn't think anything about it. I wasn't purposely going to buy this to save fuel or anything like that, or protect the environment. I really don't care. It just happened to be there that day. They were taking it off a truck, and they had ordered it for someone else, but apparently their financing fell through. And so they showed it to us, and we went on a drive, and it was kind of neat. And I'm not buying it. I could not have afforded to buy this car. The price is outrageous. But I'm doing a 39-month lease, and the lease payment was about $10 more than the Audi payment, so not a big deal.
That's a really interesting point you bring up, because, you know, I'm very much interested in getting an electric car, but as you say, the cost is prohibitive, really.
It's very. This was an outrageous price. I mean, it was.
And what was the
45 grand.
Oh.
So, But now the lease part, I'm only paying for like $14,000 worth of it, so that makes it sound better.
And it's interesting to me because, you know, this is sort of unproven technology, or the general public buying, the buying public, I think, is nervous about these types of cars because you don't know how long it's going to last, right? So I think you're going to see a lot of leases on these types of vehicles. Mm-hmm. And this is a really smart move, or this is a good way, I think, to test out this new technology and maybe take advantage of it and be able to experience it, but not be stuck with the car for the next 10 or 15 years. So that's good. That's very interesting. I have another question, but first, is there anybody else in the room who has questions about the Chevy Volt?
So did you opt to buy the charging station for your house?
Not yet. It comes with the cord, you know, you could plug into a standard outlet, but it takes 10 hours to fully charge from empty. But we never take it down that far. We only go about halfway. So it's recharged. We get, you know, if he gets home at 3 or 4, it's fully charged again by 10. The charge station, apparently they're about $600 to $1,000. I don't really know. And then you have to pay somebody to put it in. But it can charge it fully up from empty in 4 hours. So I don't really know. And I have gone out and found there's an app that tells you where the charge stations are. So I've gone downtown Columbia. There's one near the artsy fartsy movie theater and where we go, and another department store down there has one behind their building. So.
And see, that's the disadvantage of us owning a car like that is because the only place that has a charging station in Cedar Rapids is the dealership that sells the cars.
And that's kind of a dumb place to go.
Do you have to pay to use this charging station, or how does that work?
The ones we've run across there, they have installed two over in this small town where my sister lives at the city parking lot behind the police station, the general little parking area. No, it just has a sign on it. This charge station provided by some energy company, Duke Energy or whatever. So I haven't had to pay for any. There are some that charge in bigger cities, but the two we found in Columbia, those were free. And it's pretty good. Our electricity rate is very cheap too. I think we're at 8.5 cents per kilowatt hour. So it's only costing us about, it takes 10 kilowatt hours to charge it from empty. So if we're only doing half of that a day, I assume it's only costing us about 85 cents a day or less than that. So
less than a cup of coffee.
There was a question in the chat room from Veritable Virgo, who says, has GM solved the issue with the Volt battery leaking and catching fire after a side impact collision?
I do not know, and I don't expect to be in a side collision. I don't know.
Page 3 of the manual says,
there's a website called GM Volt that I go to and read all the forums. I don't know.
Veritable. Such a negative Nelly.
Well, did you read the later post? He said, I recently saw some e-car charging stations in the city where I work. That's fairly progressive considering the ass-backwards nature of that city.
What, you know what I'm interested in, Alex, is what about heating and air conditioning? How does the system work?
It has three settings. You can just run it on fan only. And then there's an economy mode and a normal comfort mode, which is just full blast air conditioner and heater. It's got an electric heater, so the heat comes out. It's got heated seats also that come on.
Oh, wow.
You can start the car up from your iPhone app. and preheat it or whatever while it's plugged in the grudge. So we could
now
do that
is,
before.
Okay, now just hold the phone here. Pardon the pun. Now, I hear this terminology a lot. You can start the car from your phone, but it's an electric car. You're not really starting anything. You're just turning on an accessory or something.
Yeah, you're just turning on. It's really kind of neat. It's got this weird sound. I guess if you go on YouTube, you can see some of it. But there's just a blue button. You get in and push the button, and it makes a noise. And it's weird. The brake pedal moves down. You can, and the steering activates. So, the power steering and the brake pedal just seem to start working with no noise. It's
really
strange feeling. So that's really the only way you could tell it came on. Things just start. You feel the power steering. But what was your question? I forgot.
Air conditioner.
And it's got a small gauge to show you how much of your range or how much of your power you're using for your climate control.
Really?
Apparently, if it was up in the cold sections of the country in the winter, it sucks your electricity down pretty good. Apparently, it's less electricity to run the heated seats than to run the heater and blow hot air in the car. Mm-hmm. Cheaper or more efficient to run the heated seats. So
now,
automatically, three different levels depending on the temperature.
So now, as far as air conditioning goes, this may be a too technical question for you, but is there actually, there must be a compressor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I guess it runs off an electric.
Electric motor. Air conditioner. Yep.
Wow. That's amazing.
And again, you probably should try to, pre-start the car. They call it precondition.
Yeah.
And, do it all while you're sitting at home before you get out, start driving around.
Well, that's amazing. I commend you, Alex, for being an early adopter and taking the gamble for the rest of us on this new technology. I think we need people like you to be to do this to make the rest of us be able to buy a cheaper car in a couple of years. So I thank you. I thank you for investing in my future.
First person. Ricky from Foul Monkeys was also interested in the vault a while back. It was the first person I'd heard speak about it, but he opted for a Prius instead. So,
he lives in Chicago, and obviously, if it's going to have heating issues or draining batteries when you run the defrost, it would be. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking at the Fisker Karma. Which is extremely high-end electric, same idea.
Yeah, it is the same. Yeah, it's got
electric
a little generator.
Car with a little turbine engine.
Yeah.
And in Canada, we can get them for just around $130,000 used. it's my birthday coming up.
Well, mine's going to be, I'm going to be in Vancouver in mine.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Alex, for telling us all about your Volt. I'm just so excited about it, and I want you to drive it some more so we can get a further update from you at some point in the future about how you're enjoying that car. Okay, so now let's go on, folks. We're coming to the end of our time here. And I want to go. I want to get through a couple of other things now. RT Cruiser.
Yes.
We are all waiting with bated breath about to hear about your Chrysler that you purchased from. Was it Alabama or somewhere?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, right?
Yes.
And we've been watching the tweets and checking the map. So now. What is going
I'm
on?
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Art Cruiser. I've not really been a very good geography student, but this car seems to be zigzagging and doing figure eights and It's very confusing. Where the hell is it right now?
It's back in England at the moment. So it's done.
Back in England.
I don't know. So it did. Went to Amsterdam, then Brussels, then England, then Morocco, then Turkey, then Spain and Italy, and back to Morocco, and back to Brussels, and now it's gone back to England.
What so the fuck? It's a road trip? What the hell?
So, yeah, it's supposed to be here in 2 weeks, but I can't see that happening at this stage, not unless it's finished with Europe and it heads straight here.
Well, I'm curious. Is it floating on the Magellan lines of circumnavigation or what?
No, but it's on a dedicated car carrier, so it would have a route mapped out where it would be going and picking up cars and dropping off cars. So
it's
all the ports.
By hot air balloon.
Yes. This must be why people do it by container ship, because they're more direct.
So I guess you have no real indication of why it's doing all these loops and flips, do you?
No. But the ship does carry, I think it's just under 4,000 cars, so they'll be, picking up cars at one port and dropping them off at another and picking up more cars and dropping them off elsewhere. So it's certainly taking its time.
Now, RT, once it gets to you, isn't there a quarantine period that you have to go through as well?
Yeah, it's the car will have to be steam cleaned inside and out, and I've got all the paperwork. I've employed a customs agent, so I don't have to worry about any of that. I just hand over a pile of cash.
Do you have any regrets about the method of shipping, or is there a different method of shipping you could have done, do you think?
What's your feeling? I'm happy for it to be on a what they call a roll-on, roll-off, just for the fact that I've heard horror stories about cars coming over in containers. Mm-hmm. I know people here, they bought a Plymouth Roadrunner, like a very rare muscle car, and it was put into a container using a forklift, and they had to replace just about everything under the body. So all the subframes were bent.
Oh, no.
And it cost them probably twice as much to fix the car as it cost them.
So let's just explain for people, a roll-on, roll-off means they're actually driving the car physically onto the boat, parking it into its own little parking spot on the boat along with 4,000 other cars, as opposed to driving the car in or placing the car in a container and then hoisting that container onto a container ship.
That's right, and these dedicated car carriers tend to be a little bit more stable. They're not as top heavy. Your containers aren't sealed, so
right. And you've put into the chat room a little map, I guess, showing where the car is currently.
That's just a picture of the ship, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can find the link for the car.
So another couple of weeks, you hope, it'll be in Australia, and then a few days or a week or so after that, you hope to have your hands on it.
Probably about a week after that, yeah.
Right. All right, good. Well, that's good. All right, well, thank you for the update. Okay, guys, does anybody have anything else you want to talk about? I wanted to talk to Toppy Smelly a little bit about your car, Toppy. Can we discuss about 3 or 4 months ago, you were talking about wanting to do some body work on your little Honda Civic, right?
Yes. That,
and I wonder if you, did you ever do anything about that, or are you happy? How's it going with your little Honda?
Well, it's going fine. It's driving fine. next winter, it will definitely need new tires because the tires I've got on it right now, they're just barely gripping the road in the heavy snow we've been getting. But other than that, it's been driving fine.
Good. So you've not had any problems with it? It's been reliable?
It's been extremely reliable. I've had no problems whatsoever. especially now that I've cut that oil thing. And the body work, I haven't done anything. I think, you know, this summer I'll try to take that sander to it and just chip away at that rust.
So now let's just talk about this oil situation a little bit. Are you seeing any smoke coming out the back end of the car?
No.
Yeah, not at all. Any smells? Any smells when you first start the car, or anything like that?
I don't think so. No.
Are you parking in the same place?
Yeah.
Is there an oil stain underneath your car when you back up?
Oh yes, I haven't noticed that either.
No.
But you know, I didn't even think about why it was so low on oil. But yeah, I mean, where the hell did it go? It must be going somewhere.
Well, now here's something to consider. sorry, Eric, I'll just interrupt you for a minute. Now you say you didn't act when you bought the car. The previous owner said that they had just done an oil change, but you actually didn't check the oil to verify how much oil was in the car when you bought it. Is this correct?
That's true, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. I have no idea when I received the car how much oil was in there.
Right, so we don't really know whether it's been burning oil or it was just not properly filled up.
It's been low since he got it.
Possibly.
Have you crawled underneath it, Toppy?
No.
It's the middle of winter, for heaven's sake.
I'm just saying there's so many factors. I mean, if he crawled underneath it and saw that there was oil residue or griminess on the oil filter, or if the engine...
On the wheels.
Exactly. Brenda made a...
No girl talk. No girls talk.
On the wheels.
I heard her.
I promptly flogged her. But she's right. You know, things to look for it then. I mean, like if it's around the wheel or if you're noticing residue, then you know it's a leak. Otherwise, it's burning it.
Nah. You know what? There's nothing wrong with that car. So what? It burned. When did you buy that car, Toppy?
Last summer.
Oh, so it's been 9 months. 9 months since he bought that car. I bet you it's not. It's normal oil.
We own consumption for it. It doesn't burn oil like that.
No. I don't know.
Okay. But Toppy, have you changed the oil since you purchased the car?
No.
Okay. I'd like you to do that for me.
That's not a bad idea.
When you're on your way to work, do you pass oil change places that will do it for you?
Well, I can get some place to do the thing. I would know how to do it myself. But yeah, you're right, Mark. I should do that. I should get an oil change.
And don't get us wrong, Toppy. I mean, you know, we all love you, and we're not trying to put you on the spot here. But you know, you have a good car. It's you don't want to destroy it with something that is easy to fix.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. Everybody who said whatever they're saying here has valid points, but this is what I think you should do. You may be a little early to be doing an oil change. It's not a bad idea. It's been 8 or 9 months. You could do an oil change. Nothing wrong with that. What I think you should do is this. You should keep your eye on this oil problem for the next month, at least once a week. You should, every Saturday, you should check the oil on your dipstick and see what the status is. And if you lose a quarter of a dipstick, you know, a quarter of a whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In a week, then there's some sort of problem. But since it's not, the thing is, it's not an obvious problem. So it's cheaper to put a quart of oil a week into a car than it is to fix an oil leak or any problem that's related to oil being burned. So just for the next month, Toppy, just monitor that oil, see how much you're burning, and if it's really bad, then you do have some sort of problem. But I suspect there's not much wrong. You may go through a half a quart a month or a half a quart every 2 months, and that's not unreasonable. Yeah. For a car that's 20 plus years old. So that's my advice for what it's worth.
Here's something odd. Okay, so when I check the oil, of course, a little dipstick, and the dipstick handle has kind of a loop at the top that you put your finger through.
Right.
Well, all right. I don't know how. I don't know what happened. I have no clue. All I know is that when I checked that oil and put the dipstick back in and finally made it someplace to buy the oil and open the trunk to get the dipstick out again, that little curly Q hook thing on the end was gone. It was gone.
Really?
I think it melted off. I don't know. But how else could it be gone?
It could have.
It's like the fucking end burned off.
Did the dipstick itself still exist? Were you able to pull it out?
Yeah, the whole dipstick exists, but the very end of it, there's just no more hook. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, you can buy a new dipstick.
Yeah, but I don't know what the hell did it melt off? It looks, kind of looks like it melted. I don't know. Anyway,
that's weird.
I thought that was very odd.
It is very odd.
That's the problem. Maybe it's oil sucking vampires.
I don't know.
That are hacking.
But this presents a separate problem altogether. Now, because when you put your dipstick in, it needs to stop at a certain point.
Yeah.
So that, is the stopper is still there? That's still there.
Yeah. Okay. That's still there.
Because my concern would be that you're getting an incorrect reading if the dipstick isn't going in and seating properly into its dipstick hole.
Yeah.
But you're just saying the loop, the hook, was it a plastic hook?
No, it was metal, and I don't remember there being anything wrong with it. I don't remember seeing it all rusty or anything. All I know is it's just a point now. It's no longer a hook. It's no longer got the little loop on it.
Well, that is odd.
Someone stole my loop!
Eric's supposition about the vampire oil eaters is probably right.
Now, listen, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to take a fucking picture of this thing tomorrow because I feel like people think I'm crazy, but I'm going to take a picture of it.
If you've got the trunk open, because that's where the dipstick is, make sure you put some garlic cloves around there just in case.
All right.
It's the Finger Lakes Twilight Saga.
Okay, watch my Facebook tomorrow. I'm going to post a damn picture of this thing.
You know how to fix that, though, Toppy.
What?
Find the same car in a used car lot, take it for a test drive, and then swap them over.
You're horrible.
That's a great idea.
That's a good point.
That may be exactly what someone did to me. That's why it's gone.
Yeah, could be. Okay, all right. Well, Toppy, you take a picture of your dipstick. send that picture to me because I don't do Facebook.
Okay,
so I'll send it to you. If you have the means and the time, send me a picture of it, and I need to know what's going on here. And we'll follow up with you in 2 weeks on the next Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
Okay, folks,
let us bring the show to a close. Thank you to everybody who's joined me here tonight. As I mentioned, we will not be back next Friday on Pride 48 for the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. We're going to skip a Friday, and then we'll be back to you on March the 15th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for a new live Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. So I want to say, actually, Laughing Buddha, if you want to go through and read to us who is in the chat room at the current time,
Absolutely. Scotty, the little Aussie battler, that Peter G. and Veritable Virgo, and of course, our associate producer, Brenda Boo.
Right. So thanks, boys, to everyone who's joined me here tonight. I want to say a special thank you to Trucker Alex, who's joined us all the way from Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes.
Right. Thank you, and thank you for telling us all about your vault. I certainly do
appreciate
it.
It wasn't as bad as I thought.
Sure. See, painless. Any experience you have with the Faye driver will be painless.
No.
I'm counting on that in April.
And Trucker Alex, how can we find you on Twitter?
Just Trucker Alex.
All right. Twitter. And RT Cruiser, thank you as well for giving us an update on the old Chrysler there.
It's quite all right.
And how can we find you, Trucker Alex?
We've asked Trucker Alex.
Sorry, RT Cruiser.
just at RT Cruiser on Twitter and in the Sydney social pages, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I think we have some evidence of you sneaking about there on The Observer. Toppy Smelly from the Smellcast, how can we find you, sir?
Look me up on thesmellcast.com.
Thank you very much, and thanks for joining us tonight. And Eric?
Well, occasionally I look around on my associate producer's show, and I'll let her brag that up whenever she gets the chance. But you can catch me directly by just going to KMRYradio.com.
All right, fantastic. And the man who always has the last word on the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, that is the Laughing Buddha, sir.
That's me. And you can find me and the Scooter Diaries on my brand new website, thescooterdiaries.net. So this episode has been brought to you by Cepacol Throat Lozenges, giving you comfort during this cold season. Thanks for joining us, everyone.